Lowe's early Black Friday deals are going fast. Don't miss up to 50% off select major appliances. Plus, up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. And with Christmas around the corner, you're going to need more string lights, right? Save $4 on GE LED 100-count string lights, now just $5.98. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
It's not Shangri-La, but as far as West Hollywood goes, it's pretty damn close. The neighbors are tolerable. I keep the pool spotless. Fuses are replaced in a snap. And did I mention we have a laundry room?
Yes, you did, Michael. Twice.
Hello, everyone. This is Again With This Melrose Place. Today's episode is Season 1, Episode 26, Endgame. And now here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello, Tara and Dave.
Before we get into this episode, it is an again with this week. So, Sarah, why don't you tell our listeners what they can get if they join our Patreon?
Yes, if you join our Patreon at any level of support, you will be able to hear us discussing Brian Austin Green / Nicole Tom vehicle from 1997, Unwed Father. It's a tour de bores, and we'll be getting into it with some representative clips. Once again, that's patreon.com/againwiththis to hear us talking about Brian Austin Green's magnum opus. Yes, the nose covering blocking does make an appearance. So yeah, join us.
And it also gets you access to all of the archives, so you get to also hear us talk about Vincent Young in his feature film, What Death Leaves Behind / The Kidney. Also, our review of our superlatives for the 10-year 90210 reunion, Gabrielle Carteris' guest appearance on NCIS, and our highlights of the career of Luke Perry, and more to come in the future. So, yeah, please help us out there, and we will help you out with bonus content. All right.
Yeah, we will probably stop avenging ourselves on each other for these movies. Probably for a while.
I mean, I hope so.
Yeah. Oh God, I'm so, sorry.
Well, let's save it for that episode. You can hear us yell at each other on Patreon.
Plenty of badness to deal with in this episode. So let's get to it.
Indeed. Starting with our B plot, Carrie's still trying to steal Terrence out from under Rhonda. This is an even more shorthandable outing for these three idiots than usual. Somehow they've gotten back onto chintz and florals because Carrie had a dream and Terrence is with it. And he reveals this when Rhonda comes by the house and is pissed to see that Carrie has talked him into this. And he lets her know that Carrie will be joining them for dinner at his restaurant that night, which is obviously unwelcome news to Rhonda. And then this dinner never happens on screen, because the next time we see Rhonda and Terrence, they're having dinner at her place some totally other night.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, I hate Carrie and you should fire her. And he's like, I only have eyes for you, so why don't you fire her? And she says, okay. And then we don't even see her do that. That's the end of their plot line for the episode. So frustrating.
Yeah, I just, get married and leave the show, please. Please. You both deserve exhausting. Better than this. Go get it.
Mm-hmm. Moving on to our A plot. A sudden passing has emotional repercussions for Billy and Allison. Billy is groggily waking up when suddenly Allison is there in a silk nightie, or possibly a slip, whipping open his ugly curtains, or possibly serapes, and talking like a femme fatale from a black and white movie in clip two.
Morning in the city of angels. Everybody lonely, nobody happy. Circus is in town and nobody's going. Life is short and then you die. That's why they play love songs, nothing but love songs, all day long, just to make you miserable. It's enough to push you over the edge.
Allison, you're back.
No, I'm in Seattle with Keith. You had your chance, Billy. You blew it.
I know, I'm sorry. Look, we just need to talk.
Oh, it's too late. 5 minutes, I'll be waking up with Keith, then I'll get up to make me breakfast. What a guy, huh?
Allison, wait.
Goodbye, Billy.
Allison! Allison!
The chimes. My God.
Oh,
of course.
God.
Just a dream. And this is a good place to break in and say this episode was directed by James Frawley, who also directed lots of episodes of The Monkees. And it shows.
Yeah.
So this dream, however, was so vivid that Billy and his new haircut, which is better but still bad, you can see in the visual aids, get up to go after Allison. The only furniture in the living room is his dumb chair, and he is at loose ends. Meanwhile, at the hospital, Michael is bitching to Kimberly that his dermatology rotation is going to drive him into a career as a full-time apartment manager. Turns out she has an apartment manager who sucks and hasn't come to fix her broken kitchen sink after a week, so she's thinking of moving. Wondering if she's ever thought about a roommate, he suggests that she move in with Billy. She's not so sure, but Michael offers to go out for dinner with the two of them to broker an invitation. And Kimberly wonders this. Clip three.
Your wife coming too?
Yeah, her too.
No, smooth.
Who? All right, buddy. We got it.
So, over said dinner, a coked up sounding Michael is giving Kimberly the hard sell on the complex and making everyone uncomfortable. Billy's first question is whether Kimberly has furniture, which she does, and which is all it takes for Billy to ask whether she wants to elope. And one quick cut later, all four are walking into the apartment so Billy can give her the tour. Like, does he even have dishes right now? I don't think that he moved in with any. Michael weirdly asks whether Billy and Allison had worked out a schedule with regard to the bathroom, which Billy says they didn't, because that would be weird. Not that Billy says that, but I do. What the hell, Michael? But anyway, just then, Billy gets a call from his mother and learns that his father's had a heart attack. Michael offers to go to the hospital with him, but Billy declines. And Mrs. Campbell's pacing the hallway when Billy arrives. Apparently, she and Mr. Campbell were out dancing when he got tired and then keeled over. And his doctor comes out just then to usher them into a lounge and tell them that Mr. Campbell never regained consciousness and has died. And please go to the visual aids to see the absolutely bananas shoulders on Mrs. Campbell's jacket.
Oh,
they seriously make her like twice as wide.
She's like Ming the Merciless. It's so big. And then there's Rickrack. Why Rickrack?
Yes. And it looks like it's made out of like furniture upholstery, which maybe is a nod to the family business, but it's all very unattractive.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oof.
Andrew Hsu, it will not shock you to learn, is not prepared to act like a guy who has just learned his dad just died. And you can see lots of evidence of this in the visual aids, because I collected it. Maybe compulsively? Who's to say? The next morning, Billy's just coming home when Matt comes out of his apartment and asks how Billy's dad's doing, and Billy, in a daze, reports the news. Matt asks if there's anything he can do, but Billy clenches his jaw and says he has everything handled. And in the apartment, Billy listens to a message from his sister Celeste about picking her up from the airport, and one from the mortuary, and that's when the Mancinis come by to check on him, although at least Michael already found out Mr. Campbell's status first, so Billy doesn't have to say the bad news again. Billy declines everyone's offer of any kind of help. And then Joe and Jake are there, and he has to decline their help too. And then Billy like runs into the shower to get away from everyone's concern. And again, I have to ask, like, does he even have towels? What supplies does Billy have in this apartment? I feel like none. Anyway, at the actual LAX, Celeste quizzes a beltless Billy on funeral arrangements before breaking down about how much they're going to miss their stubborn old dad. Billy responds with a completely wild non sequitur that I would chalk up to grief, except he's just an idiot all the time, even when none of his dads have just died. Clip four.
You know, I think I could do a good job at that store. I'm just skewed a little younger.
Now you're talking crazy.
No, I'm not.
Look, let's just try and get through this thing without a family brawl, okay, little brother?
Oh, stop calling me that.
Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry.
I don't want to be a dick, but how important you think furniture is may be reflected in the fact that even though your family owns a furniture store, you do not have any furniture. Just saying.
Yeah. Also, I'm pretty sure the show thinks we forgot or itself has forgotten that there was an entire plot line about this that spanned like two episodes. So, everyone's acting like that didn't happen. So cool.
Yeah. At the Campbell house, Mrs. Campbell's busting about having Celeste home. And when she's left Celeste's childhood bedroom, Celeste tells Billy she can handle things there and he doesn't have to stay over. Mr. Campbell apparently stored his suits in Celeste's old closet, and both kids laugh that they're all the same because the customer likes familiarity. And Billy then apologizes for yelling at her earlier, but says he's serious about the store. And again, you fucking had your chance, as Sarah just said. But on the flight out, Celeste was thinking about how Mr. Campbell gave her away on her wedding day, but literally after that, it was like she wasn't his daughter anymore. But in a way, he was right. Clip 5.
We're born to leave home. You can't fix it. Let it go.
This is something I want to do, okay? For me and for Dad. You know, I think I can make the store grow and make Dad's dream come
true. Damn it, Billy. Our father died. Stop talking business.
I'm sorry.
You're okay, both sorry guys. At acting. I give them credit for casting someone who is as almost as bad as he is. At least that's a believable resemblance sibling-wise.
Yes. But, you know, not to be like Dr. Grief, but maybe give the news a week to sink in before you try to have these conversations because, like, they're not going well. Like, take a hint from each other.
Yeah.
Anyway. Insult to injury. In the lounge at the hospital, Kimberly's telling Michael she doesn't think she wants to move in with Billy, given everything that's happening. She doesn't want to sound cold, but the previous night's events reminded her that rooming with someone means you get involved in their life, and it's not worth it unless you're in love with them. While she's saying it, she squirts too much moisturizer on her hand and smears some on his hand, like, we get it. And then he asks about
her. Weird.
Yeah. So he asks about her sink, since that's what started all this, and she guesses she'll hire a handyman, but Michael says he can do it. And at Shooters, Jake and Billy talk about missing their dads, although Jake's situation is different since his dad is still alive. Jake just doesn't know where he is or whether Jake ever wants to see him again. He doesn't think Mr. Hansen ever thought much of him. Billy will never know what Mr. Campbell thought of him, since he would never ask. Jake asks if Billy's heard from Allison since she moved. Billy says he hasn't and claims not to care, and adds that his dad's death is a wake-up call for Billy himself to grow up and be more responsible. We'll see. And later, as they're walking back into the courtyard, Billy reports that Celeste wants them to sell the store and for Mrs. Campbell to move back to Minnesota with her. But Billy is convinced that his dad wanted him to have it. Like, yeah, he did. He tried to give it to you. You said no. God.
Yeah.
But Jake thinks that if that's what Billy wants to do, he should do it. And then just as Billy's about to open his door, Amanda steps out of the shadows. She says she heard about his father, which, how? Like, how?
How
did she hear? Not explained. She says she'd still like to be his friend.
Did she go to try to buy a new chair?
It takes her about 30 seconds to use the death of Billy's father as a wedge between him and Allison in clip 6.
Have you heard from Allison?
No.
That's too bad. Then again, she did move away, didn't she?
Okay. It's 1993. I don't know how Amanda herself heard that this dad died, because as far as we know, it was last night. It would not be in the paper yet. Who even has Amanda's number to call her? But second, we also don't know how much time has passed since Allison left. She may not have a phone yet. Like, this is so rude.
Yeah. And don't be like, you both have phones. Don't lurk around in the courtyard.
Yeah.
Unless you brought him some dishes for his new old place, beat it.
Maybe Allison took the answering machine? That I could buy. Oh, no, she didn't, because we heard him. We saw him listen to messages, so it's not that.
Yeah.
Anyway. Billy doesn't engage this, says he has to go to bed, and Amanda offers to stay with him, but Billy declines twice. So Billy goes inside, and we all learn that Allison does have a phone and cares about Billy, because Jane called and told her about Mr. Campbell, and Allison left him a message of condolence. She wishes she could be there for him and gives him her number if he wants to talk. And she should already be on a plane on her way back, in my opinion, but fine. Billy goes straight to his dumb chair to return her call, but she's not there, and he declines to leave a message with Keith, kicking his way from one wall to another in frustration. And then it's the funeral, which is being performed by Bobby Adler's accompanist Julius from Will and Grace, by the way. And Billy's neighbors
and
are there.
Which is attended by Melrosians and, like, mm-hmm. one other person.
Yeah.
Nobody there.
Yeah. Billy's neighbors, as Sarah said, are there. Amanda's looking especially lovely with her hair up, which you can see in the visual aids.
Disagree.
You don't agree?
No. I hate that half-up chignon. I hate it. And she does it a lot, so I'm just going to have to get used to it, but... Like, other than that, she looks great, but if you're going to put your hair up, put it up. If you're not,
all right. Sound off in the comments. Just kidding. They've just finished when a cab pulls up and out steps Allison, and Billy and his flared nostrils are very emotional about it. After the commercial, Amanda and Allison have a testy reunion where Amanda learns that Allison met Mr. Campbell once. Sniddily asks after Keith and then comments on how hard this has been on Billy, implying that she's been helping him through it, which, no. And then Billy comes over and Amanda excuses herself, telling Billy again to call her if he needs anything. And pursing her lips, Allison says she thought Billy broke up with Amanda, which he says he did. Billy thanks Allison for coming and asks where she's staying. And Allison says Joe offered her couch, but Billy says there's plenty of room in her old apartment. Does he have one other set of sheets for her even to sleep on the fucking floor? Like, that's a terrible invitation.
Yeah. Where's she going to sleep? On the chair?
Yeah.
Like, on the counter?
Yeah, even if he was going to offer her... his bed, like, I don't want to sleep on Billy's dirty sheets. I don't know when he last washed them, if he ever did.
Oof. Well, Amanda might have.
So, Michael walks Jane to the door of their apartment and then announces that he needs to go to the hospital to check on some of his patients. Like, he's admitted people for rashes. We already know he's on a derm rotation, but whatever. We know what he's checking on. And of course, one cut later, he's under Kimberly's kitchen sink, literally, telling her that she should sue her apartment manager for neglect. Sink is fixed, and then, clip 7.
Anything else around here that needs attention?
Yes, but I don't think you're available for that kind of work.
Nah.
Give it a couple episodes, girl.
Seriously. But then she fully starts trying to seduce him anyway in clip 8.
You know, I just... happened to have a beautiful piece of meat in the fridge, and I was thinking that maybe we could stick it in the broiler, open a bottle of red wine, and eat.
Sounds delicious.
But you have to go home to your wife.
Yes.
Then you better get going. Quick.
who turns down a piece of meat? What a weird way to put it.
Also, she made a point of saying that she doesn't cook when she was right. storing the apartment. So you just happen to have a beef wad of right. single entendre-ness in the fridge. Sure.
Anyway, he takes off before he accidentally falls into her vagina. Back in their empty old apartment, Allison and Billy decline to take the chair, both sitting on the floor next to the one lamp. Allison asks again whether Billy's seeing Amanda at all, and he says no, so she asks what all that was about at the funeral. He doesn't know and changes the subject back to Allison and whether she doesn't miss L.A. at all. She says maybe a little, then asks how he's really doing, and he thinks he's okay given that everyone thinks he should be falling apart, and adds that he's been thinking about taking over the store, and Allison is not as supportive as he apparently expected in clip 9.
You're going to sell furniture? That's what you're going to do with your life?
What's wrong with it? My dad did it.
I'm sorry. I don't think there's
anything wrong with running a store. I just can't believe that that's what you want to do with your life. What about your writing?
Whatever. Like, it makes any difference to you.
It does.
Allison, you're going back to Seattle, okay?
I mean, don't come down here and act like you all of a sudden give a damn. You know? I mean, you showed how much you cared when you split. Just go back to Keith and your seal-infested city and just leave me alone.
You don't really think you can scare me away that easily, do you? I know you. And you know I care. I wouldn't be here if I didn't.
Yeah, he's really being shitty. This is rude.
Also, seal-infested city is hilarious. Like, of all the ways to clock Seattle, that's the one you pick? Okay. Sure.
Yeah. So they go to the Santa Monica Pier, where Billy works out his feelings by throwing baseballs and milk bottles while Allison flinches until the carny finally tells him to quit it and gives him the big bear so that he'll leave. And then suddenly, Billy's cheeks are streaked as he gets all maudlin and clipped in.
Here we go.
You know what stinks?
You?
He never got to see me be any kind of real success. So me succeed at crap like that. Oh. He'd bring me down here as a kid and I'd knock down a bunch of milk bottles and he'd get all proud and he'd squeeze my shoulder and I never had a reason to be proud after that. I don't know, we fought. And I'd look at him and he was just in my way. He was my father, and I never told him that I loved him. As an adult, you know? I just wanted to be bigger than myself, you know, so I could be somebody that he would be proud of to have love him.
Oh, Billy. Of course he was proud of you. You are one hell of a guy.
God, that is just so unfair to Andrew Hsu. It really is.
It's mean, but also like
it is
within the context of the show. Like the only evidence we had was that his dad was not proud of him and not really happy that he wasn't working at the store again. Anyway, as Andrew Hsu continues making a series of absolutely brutal cry faces, which you can see in the visual aids, Allison gently reassures Billy. In clip 11.
It seems so much goes unsaid, but so many times we hear it. Love does that, I think. It's like an invisible line connecting people. Maybe you didn't say, I love you. But he heard you anyway.
I love that Allison can't trust that this would-be writer understands metaphor and thus has to spell it out in so many words just to be sure.
I know. It's actually sort of a sweet sentiment.
It is.
Like, from Allison, who I think is not... I don't think she's particularly... gifted with metaphor either. So
no.
I mean, I don't know, like, and especially after watching Andrew Hsu just laboring through this whole speech while snurfling and licking his lips and
oh god,
the glycerin is just running down his neck. This was a relief. Maybe it wasn't that great, but it was like, oh, that someone who is competent if off-putting.
Yes. Anyway, the end of this is they hug and say they missed each other. And the next day, Jo and her pretty hair come to the door at Billy's with the gift of a new coffee maker, since she knows that Allison took theirs to Seattle. Which is weird, because in the episode where Billy announced that he was moving in with Amanda, it was established that the coffee maker had been his. But anyway, Billy is suspicious about getting a death present, and Jo tightly says she knows she doesn't want to be, he doesn't want to be bothered, and no one gets that more than she does, but she's always felt there was tension between them. And he says that was partly his fault and invites her in like they're about to talk about it. She's also lost a parent, so she thought she could be a sounding board for him. And he offers to make her coffee, but like, does he have coffee? Does he have cups? Anyway, while they're figuring it out, he asks what Jo thinks happens to someone's soul when they die.
Oh, my God.
And she doesn't think of it as a soul so much as energy. So for someone who just moved to L.A., she's getting up to speed fast.
Yep.
And Billy thinks life can't just end. There has to be something. Jo thinks something releases, like after her mom died, Jo could still feel her close, almost closer. Billy asks about her vision of heaven. And Jo hasn't thought about it since she was a kid, but at that time she imagined it like summer camp. And that's the end of the scene. So they never did talk about why Billy has been so pissy to her. So thanks.
Also, please rinse out the coffee maker as the manual instructs you to before making coffee in it. Thank you.
Gross. Apparently, Mr. Campbell's death has also been a wake-up call for Matt, who's out for lunch with his dad, who's very suspicious about this social call. Matt just thought they had a breakthrough at Christmas and would like to get to know Mr. Fielding, who is game. Matt wants to try to do this a lot and be friends. His dad would like that too, which is sweet. Over to the Campbell house, where Billy has brought Allison by for a visit. Out in the backyard with Celeste also at the table, Mrs. Campbell says she wants to talk to Billy about the store. And Billy tensely says that Allison doesn't want to hear about that, besides which he has to take her to the airport soon. But Mrs. Campbell says it won't take long. Plus, they consider Allison part of the family. They met her once. Like, this is crazy. But okay. The point is, Mrs. Campbell has thought about it, and she knows how Billy feels, and that's important to her. But she's decided to sell the store to the employees, which I think is rad, because that means it's going to be a co-op. But I can't get too excited about Mrs. Campbell being a secret socialist, because dumping this news on Billy in front of Allison, probably in the hopes that he won't make a scene, is very inconsiderate, despite how trifling Billy was about the store while his dad was still alive. But they're going to keep the name. And Billy, shocked, says he thought they were going to discuss it, but Mrs. Campbell says she's made her decision. Billy wanted to do something for Mr. Campbell and his mother, but he guesses she doesn't need him to do anything. She says she needs him to be a writer. Oh, no, Mrs. Campbell, no one needs that, but oh, well, too late. And then she produces from her pocket a letter she found, which Mr. Campbell wrote a year ago. She gives it to Allison to read because she doesn't think she could get through it, but she wants everyone to hear it, including us, in clip 12.
Dear Billy, you are the sunshine of my life. Okay, it's a song, but so what? I'm not a writer, I'm a furniture man. But that says what I can't. My problem is that I don't know how to say it to you. We don't talk, we fight. You don't know from furniture, and I don't know from writers. But I know I am proud of you. This is one of lots of letters I've written to you. Someday I may even mail one to you. Well, I'll sign off now. I'm worried that I still haven't said what I want to say. How do you express yourself to a son? If I were smart, I'd let you write it and I'd sign it. That would be a good one, huh? What I'm trying to say that I love you, Billy. Every night, I thank God for sending you to me. I mean it, Billy. Gotta go now. A customer is waiting. Love, Dad.
I mean, you know, that's a fine way to let Billy off the hook, I guess.
Yeah, sure. Like, is it inelegant? Yes. Does anyone really care? No.
No. And the most important thing is that Billy manages to sit through it without blubbering more. So thank you for that decision.
We are also proud of you, Billy. Well done. Yeah.
So then Billy's dropping Allison off at LAX and saying they should make a plan to visit each other, musing about whether that's weird. Like, are you two each other's first friends? Because no, it's not weird to visit each other. You weirdo. Whatever. So, walking her inside, he says it was great.
Ever heard of a telephone?
Yeah.
Come on.
Walking her in, he says it was great to get that letter and that she was right. The love was there all the time. And they hug goodbye again. And he's already on his way out when she calls after him and then says it's nothing, but then calls to him again. And our final clip.
I don't give a damn about the Olympic Peninsula. And I miss you. And I'm all alone up there with no friends and no job prospects. And Keith doesn't care. He just goes on and on about single something in Pineville. And I hate it. And it was stupid to move up there, and I did it. And I'm tired of it. And I'm lonely. And I don't know what to do.
Stay here. That's what you do.
But I just got there.
Well, I begged you once before, but now I'm telling you, you belong here.
You're right.
Are you serious? You mean it?
Damn right. Take me home.
All right! See ya, Keith!
I mean... you've been there, what, 3 days?
Yeah, we don't know.
Also, like... Keith gets to keep your shit as far as I'm concerned, so now you're both really screwed. Are you going to take turns in the chair and drink coffee straight from the coffee maker?
Oh, all her dumb stuff is coming back. He doesn't want to keep her advertising posters. They're too consumerist.
That's an excellent point.
Thanks. So that's where we leave it. Let's close it up by naming our episode MVP.
Mrs. Campbell.
Yeah, she made the right decision for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that jacket was like so bad that it was awesome. So, yeah, Mrs. Campbell.
I'm going to say Joe, because a lot of people after a death will just be like, well, let me know if you need anything. And then she actually just like did something that was practical and helpful and without waiting to be asked. And that's what people need, I think, in moments like that, even if we never did get a conversation about what his problem is.
Yeah. Also, her hair looked amazing as usual.
So good. Least valuable player. Amanda for scrabbling around after Billy after everything.
Yeah, like gross.
Clearly.
Terrence? Just put a ring on it and get. Come on, man.
And don't get your girlfriend to fire the decorator you hired. That's really shitty and unprofessional.
Next time on Again With This, Billy and Allison struggle with the aftermaths of bad career decisions. Jake and Joe struggle with the show's obligatory AIDS scare episode. And Rhonda probably struggles with something Terrence related, like just marry him and beat it already, dang. You should marry some cucumber slices to your eyelids in preparation for our visual aids for this and every other episode of Again With This. They're on our website at againwiththispodcast.com and on our Twitter account at AWT90210. Or stroll right up to the airline gate of our Patreon page. That's patreon.com/againwiththis. I'm steak rejector Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Twitter at Tomato Nation. My co-host is clumsy rose metaphor Tari Ariano, and she's on Twitter at Tari Ariano. And our producer is one hell of a guy, and he's David T. Cole. Talk to you next time.